Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by Tyler O, and it's here. The NFL season is practically here. Most people are going to be doing their home league drafts this upcoming weekend, I'm sure, or at least some point before the season kicks off next Thursday. So I'm so excited. I'm sure you're excited. We have a ton of exciting stuff to get to in this episode, including some recent NFL news and some discussion based off of recent events. But before we get into any of the news or any of those subjects, Tyler, how you feeling, baby? We finally made it.
We've made it, my friend. We are here. Football is officially here. So many drafts already done. I got two more this week, a few more the next week. It is full year draft season. There's multiple fantasy draft blocks on my family calendar right now. And to me, there's nothing more sweet than be able to see fantasy draft, knowing that I'll be able to just lock in with the friends, make the picks, and then roll that right into the football season, dude. Thrilled to be here, ready to talk ball.
Yeah, dude, it's so lovely. It's so nice to be able to just get back into the groove of it. I'm so pumped. And another thing I'm really pumped about today, selfishly, just a little bit, you know, I do consider myself partial to the Washington Commanders. We will get ourselves into our first news item. Terry McLaurin, 3-year contract extension worth up to $96 million, ends his hold-in. I had him ranked as if he was going to work this out eventually in my rankings, but I know a lot of people didn't have that as the case. People were kind of a little bit hesitant on him, but now that it's officially in the rear view, there's no more dispute. He's getting his money. How do we feel about Terry McLaurin in the 2025 fantasy season?
I mean, I'm pretty lukewarm on Terry McLaurin. He's a guy that I was really in on early in his career and kind of cooled off a bit as we've got going. I mean, prior to last year, he's getting you, what, 4 or 5, maybe 6 touchdowns a game. Last year, absolutely explodes on the scene. No surprise, right? As Jaden Daniels, he is the quarterback, one of the most probably impressive young quarterbacks in the NFL right now, goes out and gets 13 touchdowns. Well, the yards didn't really change too much. He had, you know, just about 1,100 yards, something he's done a couple times in his career. We saw a massive jump in the touchdown department at 13 TDs, right? So you got to ask yourself, you know, 13 TDs isn't necessarily something we're going to be betting on Terry to do, and most wide receivers to do every year. But is this going to regress a lot or a little? Do we see him still be able to get 10 or 11? Because Jaden Daniels is that good. This offense is that good. This team has taken a step forward that we just expect more touchdowns out of the Commanders offense. Or do we play the card of he's a regression candidate? It's a fade, man. So I'm usually at ADP. You know, I always hate kind of coming out the gates without a strong take. Maybe doesn't make it as interesting. His ADP sits around wide receiver 18, 19 in that range. I am ranked at 22. Definitely have left some drafts with Terry McLaurin. Feel completely fine when he goes there, particularly kind of if I can, stacking at least in best ball Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. But he's not a guy that I've been actively targeting, but also a guy I've not been actively fading. And this extension doesn't really do much for me. I've been pretty vocal about the fact that I'm not worried about it. They're going to get it done. There's no way they're about to roll into the season. The Commanders, as they roll into the season with Deebo Samuel and guys, just some guys on the team. I mean, I mean, it's Ertz. So for me, it's just, I had no doubt. So it doesn't change the rank. I was never dropping him in dynasty because of the holdout. I was never going to move him down in redraft because of the holdout, but he sits at a right about his ADP. Happy to take him when he's there, but not a guy I'm reaching on. So nothing strong out the gate here, Herms, but I would say the biggest takeaway is that the signing doesn't do anything for me because this was the expectation this whole time.
For sure. I always kind of figured it was going to work itself out for the same reasons that you described. Nothing else really to add, but just, you know, congratulations to Terry. Good job on getting your money, my man. Now we can transition into some slightly more disappointing news. An update on something that we've been talking about throughout the course of this offseason. Joe Mixon and his mysterious foot issue is officially going to cause him to miss the first 4 games of the regular season. We won't see him at the earliest, even potentially, until October, and that's assuming he would be able to come back right away. But with how ambiguous this whole thing is, I don't know when he's supposed to play. I have no idea when the hell we're supposed to expect Joe Mixon to suit up and play on an NFL football field in 2025. So we talked about this before. a little bit in the past, but now that it's like very official, we've been through the preseason, we've seen kind of what's up. Do you care about Nick Chubb? Do you care about Woody Marks? Is Damian Pierce, if you're playing in like a 16-teamer super deep league, appealing to you at all? Or are we just avoiding the backfield?
We're avoiding the backfield for the most part. You know, I've certainly taken, you know, Nick Chubb, some Woody Marks, Damian Pierce in deeper leagues just in the last kind of picks just to kind of see what happens. I don't have a lot of high expectations for this run offense without Mixon. We already know there's going to be some issues on the offensive line. Just think they're going to be in a position to have to throw the ball a lot. So for me, it's tough to say because I don't want to sit here and tell you to avoid this backfield because you don't have to pay much to get a ticket into this backfield, right? And while I don't expect there to be a tremendous upside, I certainly don't mind. I mean, I certainly could believe that a running back, if they're able to kind of grab a hold of this while Mixon is out, could be a top 24, top 20 running back. You know, it's in the range of outcomes. I certainly don't think it's possible. But for me, you can take the stabs late. I don't really care. I do want to address Mixon, though, real quick, because this is I help a lot of people with their drafts. People text me. I have some friends that play. And I've never seen, actually never seen, but the disparity between like my rank and I believe like Underdog's rank and Expert's rank to what ADP has on Mixon is insane. You will be in a draft. And if you're not listening to this podcast or paying attention to football, you'll be sitting there in the sixth, seventh, eighth round. And Mixon's going to be at the top of the ADP the whole time. Like on Sleeper, his ADP is like 70. His ADP on FTN is like 70. He's like 140 for me in terms of my ranks. And it's been that way for weeks, Herms, for weeks. Like I can't tell you how many times I've been in a draft, whether it's an industry or home league. And for five rounds, Mixon's just sitting at the top. Like I swear to God, auto draft is like keeping Mixon's ADP in the 70s. Like it should be down in the hundreds, like 120, 130. Because I took, and not to pivot too far, I took Mixon, them announcing him being out for four games as good news. I took that as good news because I was expecting it to be much longer. Not to say like he doesn't play this season, but like just the way things have been, the way folks have been talking about it, the way the things we've been hearing, it's so ambiguous, no positive news. He's not practicing at all. I was expecting to hear like eight games minimum. And that's how I've been treating him, is just like, and I know you agree, we just shy away from Mixon entirely because we don't even know. He can miss the season. If they said Mixon was going to miss the season, I wouldn't be necessarily shocked, Terms. So for me, it's like when they said four games, I was like, oh, well, you know, it could be four. And then they add to it, they have a bye in week six. So we could see him in week seven, but it's about half the season anyways. So for me, it's like, if you were drafting on Sleeper, and I haven't checked Yahoo or ESPN or other sites, ADP, I haven't played on him yet, and he's sitting there at 70s, 80s, you're going to be like, oh man, like Mixon's been at the top of the board for three rounds. Like it must be a value. I'm going to take him. Don't do it. Do not do it. Stay away from Joe Mixon. If he drops to, you know, the 10th, I mean, that's probably later than that, like 11th, 12th, 13th round, sure. And you have an IR spot, slide him on in. I wouldn't draft him without an IR spot, though.
No, 1,000%. This, and I completely agree with you. This is how you draft Joe Mixon if you're going to do it whatsoever. Once all the starting running backs have been gone, once a lot of the really good guys in the committees have been gone, once the premium handcuffs are gone, and it's a luxury pick, and you have an IR spot. Those are the exact criteria that must unfold. Otherwise, the last thing you want to do is make a bad pick. Because one bad pick in your fantasy draft can absolutely ruin it for you, ruin the whole thing, set a bad tone, and you're just going to have a bad time. Now, we have one more quick player news to talk about, and then we'll get into our first commercial break. Amari Cooper going back to the Raiders, the team that originally drafted him. Woohoo! 1 year, $5 million. Do we care at all?
We don't really care at all for Amari Cooper. We're not drafting him in any type of leagues. Like, if you play in Dynasty, go check if he's on waivers. Certainly worth a roster spot, in my opinion. He's not that old just yet. I think there's a world where it's like you have deep rosters in Dynasty. Somebody just was like, oh, he's cooked. I'm going to drop him. Go ahead. See if he's around. I think he's, what, 31? Doesn't mean you're absolutely cooked as a wide receiver, right? Yeah. His gameplay has never necessarily, in my opinion, been predicated upon like speed and burst as much as a technician. So he could see a good situation. I think what this does is it does speak volumes. And I don't know if this is what prompted it. Certainly, a coincidence if so. But Jacoby Myers was talking about holding out or asking for a trade because he was so upset about his contract, you know, supposedly. What we do know as a fact is apparently him and his camp asked for a trade. Probably wants more money. Immediately, the Raiders go out and they sign Amari Cooper, which I think says a lot about the Jacoby Myers situation. I've been vocal about being a Jacoby Myers fan and liking him in full PPR leagues. It's kind of like that flex option, upside bench thing. as he's been a pretty much rock solid low end wide receiver two for a while now. But like, this definitely tells me that the Raiders are sending him a message. Like, maybe it's coincidence, right? But like, I'm not necessarily lowering Jacoby Myers in my ranks just yet. Like, I'm not ready to just be like, oh, I'm out on Myers, because I think that'd be a little bit too reactionary. But like, if I'm, you know, looking at a couple players and Jacoby Myers is available, like, I might be like, you know, maybe I'm not going to do it. There's just some bad juju going around here. The drum beats aren't in favor of Jacoby Myers right now. And especially they have that that rookie, Deontay Thornton Jr., that apparently has been lighting it up. I've seen a couple plays. Seems like he's going to be one of the starters. He's been getting all the starter snaps in the preseason, and has been looking damn good. Myers' value is predicated on, like, they have to throw the ball somewhere else besides Bowers. But the Raiders are starting to tell us that that might not be true, and it's something we need to consider.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if anything, the biggest takeaway for me is that I am just even more secure in how just I am so locked into the Brock Bowers thing in 2025. I am going to try to get him on as many teams as possible, because, like, dude, if that continues to go haywire with Myers, then, I mean, Brock Bowers was already going to see a billion targets a game, but he's just become even slightly more important than he already was. So in my mind, I guess that's kind of fun. But, like, yeah, definitely something to keep in mind. Now, on the other side of our commercial break, we are going to get into discussions on a couple players. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, hey, it's Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Football season is right around the corner, and there's no better way to lock in your fantasy dominance early than with best ball on DraftKings, where you draft once and ride your roster all season long. And right now, DraftKings is giving all customers a can't-miss offer. Draft one, get one. Enter a lineup in the $15 million best ball contest for just $20, and you'll score another best ball ticket to play free for a share of $15 million, giving you a second shot to win big. It's easy. Just draft your team once, no weekly management required, and let your top scorers automatically start each week. Across the whole season, every breakout start, every clutch play, every touchdown will count toward your quest for a share of $15 million. You want to start your draft with Ja'Marr Chase and come back around with Joe Burrow? Get yourself a nice little Bengals stack? You definitely can. You want to try to play the ADP a little bit and scoop some value on rookies? You could definitely build your roster that way. You could do anything you want in this $15 million best ball contest. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now to draft your $20 best ball lineup to play for a share of $15 million. And get a second ticket to play free for a share of $15 million. That's two chances to win big without ever setting your lineup again. Draft one, get one. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per customer. Enter the Best Ball $15 million Headliner Contest by September 4th, 2025 to get one bonus entry. $20 entry fee required. Reward expires in 30 days. See terms at DraftKings.com/NFL-best-ball. Sponsored by DraftKings.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Crossing Routes podcast. This is still Herms. This is still Tyler O. And we are going to get into you're too high or you're too low. This is an article series that you've been coming out with over the past several weeks. I'm going to link this edition that we're going to be referring to in the episode description for everybody. So if you want to go check it out, see the full write-ups for all the different players, you can definitely go do that. But one of the players that you believe people are just a little bit too high on going into this season is Ricky Pearsall, the second-year wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. This is a situation that we have talked about a few times over the course of this offseason, because with Brandon Ayuk coming back from his ACL, this whole wide receiver room has been kind of wide open. So I'm sure that you have got a pretty interesting case against Ricky Pearsall, whose name has been getting a little bit more buzzy lately.
Yeah, so I mean, I got to be completely honest here about Pearsall, because, you know, I live on X or Twitter for the fantasy football stuff. I talk to, you know, industry people just for the nature of my job all the time. And everybody absolutely loves Ricky Pearsall. I'm like, for me, I don't get that. That to me is a little bit too far. I don't really understand the love for it. Like, the story is great, right? Dude got shot, wasn't going to give up his watch or Rolex or whatever it is, survived. That's why he missed his rookie season. Like, I love the story, dude. Like, it's pretty badass. But I think for me, you look at it a little bit more like objectively, and like he didn't get much love coming out of college. I was skeptical. College production, a little underwhelming. I didn't think the tape necessarily was good. Like there's flashes, fairly smooth. I'd say reliable hands, but like nothing screamed first round wideout. That was a huge surprise. I don't know. I think everyone is surprised him going the first round last year. I've always viewed him as a complimentary piece more than an alpha wide receiver. Like I've always loved him to be a complimentary piece. I think especially in the 49ers offense, like that's great. But I think the issue is I do still view him as more of a complimentary piece than an alpha. And, you know, he didn't have true breakout age top. Like it wasn't dominating targets. I don't think he was that explosive. The thing is in my head, just the way that people are talking about Ricky Pearsall, it felt like they were drafting him way earlier than his ADP actually suggests. He goes super early in the drafts that I'm in, but I do understand like if you're drafting in a home league and you're drafting, you know, on ESPN or Yahoo, his ADP wide receiver 36, wide receiver 38 range in the 7th, 8th round is fair. It is really fair. And I certainly have no problem with like where he goes. My issue is that when people start reaching on him, which people are doing a lot, like I don't want to be the guy that's taking Pearsall in the 6th round. I don't want to be that guy. I think that's far too early. Just don't reach on him and take him at cost or at ADP, and I'm okay with it. It is important to look at the situation not more than talent, but the situation of a player matters much more in redraft than it does in dynasty. In dynasty, we always say situations changes, talent doesn't, right? And in redraft, situations are important because we're playing just 1 year. It's a much smaller sample size than over the course of a whole player's career. But what gets me is like, what if Juwan Jennings signs a contract and all of a sudden his calf is magically better?
Yes.
He's proven to be a target hog in this offense. What, you know, Ayuk's still hurt, but, you know, he comes back healthy halfway through the season. Yeah, maybe Pearsall was good for you in the first half of the season, but second half of the season, if Juwan Jennings or Brandon Ayuk are healthy, and we have Kittle and McCaffrey out there, which we're assuming full health, I mean, Pearsall to me is not even worth rolling out. If we have a healthy Ayuk and Jennings and Kittle and Christian McCaffrey are already healthy, I'm not even considering Pearsall. So it's like you're spending, you know, 6th, 7th round draft capital again, which isn't enormous, but still substantial on a player that I think is going to A, only impact half the season, and B, the first half of the season doesn't matter as much as the second half. So again, if you're getting him in the 8th round, like this is not for you. Take him in the 8th round, take him in the 9th round. I'm okay with that kind of just bet on that, on the you know, short-term upside without anybody coming in as Juwan Jennings or Ayuk. But I think people are steaming him up a bit, and I don't want people to get caught up in the hype to where they reach for him in the 6th round, because I do not believe that is a strategy that's going to help you win your league.
I don't either. And I think you hit on something that is very, very important to reinforce for listeners. If you are trying to just look at what the 49ers offense can be this season, George Kittle is definitely going to get his. That is 100% certain. There's a decent chance he might, you know, come close to, if not definitely, lead the team in targets. And I know, you know, running backs don't typically elevate super high into the pecking order for targets, but they have Christian McCaffrey, one of the most electric pass catching backs of his entire generation, arguably the best at it, if we want to make that argument. And that is just two dangerous weapons right there. So not every wide receiver one, quote unquote, is created equal. Even if people are correct and Ricky Pearsall does emerge as the top receiver in this situation, that doesn't necessarily guarantee he's the top earner. There are other dynamic playmakers that are objectively better at what they do than he is at what he does. No offense to Pearsall, but Kittle and McCaffrey are Kittle and McCaffrey. So I don't know, man. I'm with you. People pump the brakes a little bit on Ricky Pearsall. If it gets into the 6th round, probably too much. But there is someone that I think kind of just gets forgotten about. And it kind of hurts my feelings. And I'm not even personally affected by this, but that's just how much I care about Mike Evans, the veteran, the longtime stalwart, the you are going to get 1,000 receiving yards out of this man machine. Why are people still entirely too low on Mike Evans?
Yeah, it's insane to me. So let me just break it down with Mike Evans here, just so we're totally understanding who this player is. First of all, people like fade him. It's like tradition to fade him. I've never done it, but people for some reason do it every year. Last year, he finishes wide receiver 9. He missed some time, and he was wide receiver 9. So that was his 8th wide receiver 1 finish. So his 8th top 12 finish in 11 NFL seasons. When he's out there playing a full season, or even part of a like majority of the season, he's a wide receiver 1. People need to stop pretending that the cliff is here and acknowledge that this guy is going to keep producing. And he was he was like, you know, in the, you know, right now he's like wide receiver 20, I believe, in Underdog, which is insane. I believe he's around ADP wide receiver 18 or 17 right now. Mm-hmm. And he's been there, but this is what's crazy to me, Herms, and this is what I really want to spell out, is Jalen McMillan, not that he was going to be much of a threat. He's out for half the season. Glad he's okay. Gruesome injury. Glad he's great. Next play. Chris Godwin, Jr. now, apparently. Chris Godwin, Jr. Update. Shout out Chris Godwin, Jr. Got an update. Love to see that. He, which is funny because that doesn't mean he had a kid, right? He, that means like he took on Jr. because if his, because like if he had a kid, he'd be a senior. Which that I don't know true. The story behind that. We could get, we'll Google it. We'll Google that. We'll figure that out at some point in time. But the thing is he's going to be out a while. I mean, Godwin's probably out at least half the season at this point in time. It looks like a full year injury. The injury that we thought it was, like, I'm not a doctor here, but basically what I've gathered is it was more severe than we were led on to be when it happened. It's going to be, he's out half the season is basically how I'm operating. And of course, what this does for good reason is get us very excited about the rookie Emeka Egbuka. And I get it. I've been drafting him everywhere. He was available widely at 108 in every single dynasty draft I was in. I have so much of him. And I was drafting him all offseason. I'm feeling so good about him. Man, that was one of the biggest wins I had. Him and Trayvon Henderson just absolutely scooping him up everywhere. It looks good right now. It makes me feel like I shouldn't take any victory laps because the season hasn't started, but it feels good to see him rise so much. But what I'm getting at here is, yes, let's celebrate Emeka Egbuka. Let's gas and steam Emeka Egbuka up the boards. Like, let's draft him. Ahead of Ricky Pearsall, by the way. Let's keep drafting this guy. But he's not the only player impacted by these injuries, man. And I understand we've talked about this where we expect some regression from the Buccaneers offense as a whole. But regardless, this target tree is so narrow right now that I can't figure out a way that Mike Evans doesn't finish in the top 15 and he goes outside the top 15. I actually ranked him as wide receiver 15 right now. Again, his ADP in like best ball is like 20. I believe it's ADP across all platforms is 18. I'm well ahead on Mike Evans. To me, he's like an absolute smash as my second wide receiver because I feel so good about him finishing in the top 12. So it's bankable. The red zone role is bankable. You know, as long as the offense doesn't crater, he's a lock for double-digit touchdowns. So, man, I don't know what people are doing. Like, do not pass on Mike Evans. If you want to go like, you know, Bowers or McBride or and wide receiver early, or I mean running back early, if you rock Mike Evans out as your wide receiver one this season, I think you will pull that off.
I do too. And I think that both of these situations that we're talking about are things that I kind of just want to remind people of. We get excited about guys like Pearsall and Egbuka based off of like certainly what they might be able to do this year, but a lot of just like the long-term hype. But that's not the game we're playing. It's the dynasty brain seeping into the redraft brain, I think a little bit too much, and causing us to forget about, yeah, I know he's a little bit older, but I don't care. Mike Evans, and especially his connection that he has with Baker Mayfield, is mint. It is supreme. It is not going away just because they drafted a receiver in the first round. Until Mike Evans just stops being good at football, I'm going to continue. Like, I will go down with that ship. I don't care. It's fine. It will probably work out. And I think that's the thing that, like, people just have to remember. When you're going into your drafts coming up, you know, this weekend and into next week, there is dynasty brain stuff. There are younger players you should be excited about and take chances on, but don't steam them up super high and don't let it be the reason that you forget about older, reliable options for your lineups. I think that's something that gets lost sometimes, and I thought it would be good to kind of remind listeners of that while we were on these subjects. So it has been the Crossing Routes Podcast. I'm Herms, he is Tyler Rowe, and we will talk to you guys later on this week on Thursday. Adios!
Think about how far we come just to say goodbye. Stay.